go into praise and worship and celebrate all that Jesus has done for us.
The greatest day in history. Death is beaten, you have rescued me. Sing it out, Jesus is alive.
Are you glad he's alive today?
The empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same.
Joy and perfect peace. Earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day. You wash my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. Forever.
Oh, what a happy day. How many of you are having a happy day today? Come on. Come on. If you don't have anything else to be happy about, you should be happy that you are the son or the daughter of the Most High King. Amen. Amen. Can we just give the Lord a hand clap again? Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we lift up your name today. Lord, we give you all the honor and the praise today. Lord, we thank you that you're meeting us here in this place. We thank you, Lord, for Palm Sunday. We thank you, Lord, for Easter that we're going to celebrate next Sunday. But Lord, most of all, we just thank you that you never gave up on us. Even in our worst day, it was a happy day because we had a Savior who came to redeem us. We had a deliverer who came to set us free. We had a healer who came to heal us. Lord, we thank you that you've given us more than we could ever deserve, we could ever earn, we could ever work for. Lord, we're not worthy except that you declared us so. And so, Lord, we praise you today for this service and for this time together as a body of believers, as a family. And Lord, we pray that you would just be honored by all that we do today. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. We Would you say hi to somebody real quick as you're seated? Say hi, greet someone. Amen. Amen, amen. You can be seated in the house of the Lord for just a few minutes here. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Want to say welcome to everyone. Thanks for being here today on Palm Sunday. Everybody, next week is Easter. Come on now. Amen, amen. We give a hand clap for that. Amen. Want to just say welcome once again to all of you, especially if you're a first-time guest. If you come to visit with us today, would you reach in the seat back in front of you if you haven't already received a card? Fill it out and put it in the offering bag when it goes by, and we'd be so appreciative of letting us know that you came to visit with us today, and welcome once again. Welcome if you're online, too. I'm waving at you online up there. Yes. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, today is Palm Sunday, and tonight, starting at 6 o'clock, we'll have our Palm Sunday prayer service. We're going to have a little worship and prayer time led by Pastor, and Michelle will be leading the worship, and then Pastor, our very own Pastor Chad's going to bring a short devotional word, and then right after that, we're having our annual family meeting. And so if you're a member, voting member, you want to attend just so you can see the church finances, and we're going to be electing a new deacon to our church board. And also, even if you're not a member, you can come and check it all out and see what's going on, and it's just a good time to get together. And so we invite you all to be here tonight. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to be headed to the OKC Dodgers game, and there's a lot of you out on the sign up, but here's the deal is, it's great that you've signed up, but to secure your ticket, you need to pay, all right? So you need to pay for your tickets, $10 a piece, and so you can see me after service tonight or by next week. It also helps me to know if we've gotten enough tickets. So we've secured 50 so far, but if we have more than that that wants to go, I can get more. And so if you're signed up and you are for sure going, then if you'll find me and pay for your ticket, that will help me to know how many are going. And we'll talk some more about that. Next Saturday, coming up this Saturday, is our Easter outreach. And you notice the bikes over here. Notice the bikes over here, and Jeremy tried to get on the frozen one. I told him, no, you can't ride the frozen bike. Miss Glenna was popping wheelies on the Spider-Man bike earlier. It was before Sunday school, and I have video if any of y'all want to see. But no, if you're not familiar with what we do, at 11 o'clock, we'll have the outreach will start, and everybody will be in here, and we'll present a gospel presentation and tell the story of Easter and all that Jesus did. And then we will send them out into the backfields here to hunt for Easter eggs, and there'll be prize eggs and all of that. And then we come back in here, and we draw names. And each of these bikes are for different ages. So this is like 0 to 2 and 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And so boys and girls, and super exciting kids. We have people who come. Pastor will tell you, we have people who come who they came as kids. And I believe we've had someone who said they came that now they're grandchild. So third generation of coming to our Easter outreach. and winning a bike and those things. And so it's a mainstay in our community, and we'll have thousands of eggs out there. And so we need help with that. And so if you've signed up to help, that's awesome. If you haven't, sign up so we kind of know you're coming. But I need to give some instruction. If you're coming to help, we need you to be here no later than 10, because at 10 o'clock right here in the sanctuary, we're going to have just a five-minute volunteer meeting, disperse out to have you help in different areas and where you're going to go and registration or helping with us the eggs or the prize eggs and things of that nature, and kind of tell you how everything's going to go. So it's going to be a tremendous morning. It's always so much fun, and we appreciate all of you who come to help with that. And if you're asking yourself right now, you think they need my help? The answer is yes, we do need your help, and it is, and we appreciate you doing so. And then next Sunday is our Easter services, and we're excited about that. Want you to be here. Our service will start at 10:30 a.m., and we've got a tremendous service planned, and we would love for you to come and be with us for Easter. And how many of you guys, your wife's already picked something out that you don't want to wear, but you're going to wear anyway? All right, yes. You're all chicken to raise your hand. I see how it is. It's okay. We're going to ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. As they come, yeah, let's give that a hand. Amen. 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 Let me just say this. A couple weeks ago, our youth group went on a missions trip to Mission Arlington. And so in just a minute, I'm going to pray over the tithe and offering, and then you're going to get to enjoy getting to see the video of that trip. And I think that you'll be blessed by what you see. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for your grace, your mercy, and for all that you've given us. Lord, we pray right now you'd bless the tithe, bless the offering. And Lord, just bless our hearts as we see the video of the hard work the young people did in Arlington to serve those who are less fortunate, who may be at a point right now where they have a physical need. Lord, we pray that those physical needs were met so that their spiritual need could be met, and that is to know you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Why you ever chose me has always been a mystery. All my life, I've been told I belong at the end of the line with all the other not quite. We'll all never get it right, but it turns out they're the ones you were looking for all this time. 'Cause I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see. Nobody but Jesus.
When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is everybody's got a purpose. So when I hear that devil start talking to me, saying, who do you think you are? I say,
I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. For the world.
It's kind of a cold spring break. I don't know if, what you guys thought about spring break. Kevin and I were talking about how cold it was, and we're like, this is not spring break. And our kids were down there working in the cold, so that was awesome. I just appreciate everything that they do. Let's stand together, and let's go back into worship.
I was lost in shame, could not get past my blame, until he called my name. He changed me, darkness held me down, but Jesus pulled me out. Now I'm no longer bound. I'm so glad he saved me. See, I am a new creation in Christ. The old has gone, there's new life. I live by faith, not by sight.
Your name today. For you are the God of gods and the King of kings and the Lord of lords. There is no one like you. And we just want to take this morning to just thank you, to worship you, to let you know that we love you, that we adore you. Father, we just give you glory this morning in honor and praise. Thank you, Jesus.
Shatter rocks with a whisper. You hang the stars with your hands. Your word is infinite wisdom, and your ways are higher than man's. And seasons obey your
Oh,
let Zion be lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on, my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, 'cause you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise.
Can we just lift our hands and give him thanks and praise and worship, Lord? We just love you. We lift our hands to you, Lord, today in adoration, in worship, and thanksgiving. God, just touch and meet every need in this place today, Lord. Those watching online, meet every need, God. You said where two or three are gathered in your name, that you're here in the midst, oh God. Lord, we know that you're here today. You're here to touch hearts. You're here to touch lives. You're here to bring healing and help and peace and salvation and strength, guidance and comfort. Oh, Lord, we worship you right now. We worship you. Just meet every need right now, Lord. Move across these chairs in this sanctuary, Lord. Reach down and touch these that are here today. If you have a physical need right now in your body, just lift up your hand right there where you're standing. Up to the Lord. Say, Lord Jesus, I have a need right now. I believe that you're my healer. I believe, God, there's nothing impossible with you. You said, Father God, that if we ask anything in prayer, believing, if we agree on anything, that it would be done. Ask and we shall receive. Seek and we shall find. Knock and the door will be opened. Lord, right now we just ask that you minister to the needs today. Let healings come forth from this service, we pray. Let testimonies come forth that you have done a miracle, that you have healed a hurt, that you have healed an illness, a sickness, that you have mended a bone, that you have touched a mind, that you have broken a habit, that you have saved a soul. Father, we love you, Lord. Jesus, we praise you. Holy Spirit, do your work in this place today. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, touch our nation. Touch our leaders. We need revival in America. Let it start right here today. Let it start right here in our own hearts. We thank you, God. We know that you want to use us, Lord, to bring glory and honor to your name, to be salt, to be light. Jesus, we love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king except for a heart singing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You may be seated. Glory to God. Thank you, worship team. I believe the Lord looks forward to Sundays and to hear those hallelujahs from churches all around this world that are gathered and praising and lifting up the name that's above all names. Preachers that are getting ready to preach, if they're in this time zone. Others have already preached. Others will be preaching later. People gathered in churches like this one all over America and all around the world together and to lift up the name of Jesus. What a privilege we have, amen? So good to see all of you today. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4, the last time we were together, if you're new today or your first time, we've been going through the Gospel of Mark. It's rather remarkable. That's the title of the series, Remarkable. We've been in Mark now for 2 or 3 months, and we're in Mark 4, so we're going at a really fast pace. Mark chapter 4, the last time we were together, we left off with verse 25. So we're going to pick up with verse 26 down through verse 34 here today. So let's read our verses that we're going to cover today. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First, a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come." Jesus said, "How can I describe the kingdom of God? What story should I use to illustrate it? It is like a mustard seed planted in the ground. It is the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of all garden plants. It grows long branches, and birds can make nests in its shade." Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables. But afterward, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. A couple of things to point out here in the introduction. Number one, it says, Jesus said. First thing, Jesus also said. I want to tell you, it's not my words. It's not your words. It's not anybody else's words. What we're reading today is something the Son of God said and was recorded. It's what Jesus said. How many of you know we ought to pay attention when Jesus says something? If the Son of God is talking to us, we probably better listen as to what he is saying. The second thing is, Jesus is once again telling a couple of parables that help hearers better understand the kingdom of God. And we've talked about what a parable is. It's an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. That's probably the simplest definition. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus told something like 40 of them. And we've looked at three or four already in Mark, and looking at a couple more today. So I've divided this message into three parts using three words that we will use to discover the meaning of the Lord's teaching. Now, let me note this morning. Let me say this, because there will always be more about these verses or any verses in the scripture that a pastor or a teacher would preach and teach on that could be shared. There's always more things that could be brought out to light. And so when we're looking at these verses, and I've done my best to research and study what these verses are saying, but how many of you know we can never totally understand and uncover everything about the Word of God, even in our lifetime? Because God's word is infinite, it's beyond all understanding, and people have preached and preached thousands of messages, and teachers have taught Sunday after Sunday, and still there are things, and not revelation. I believe there was only one revelation. The Lord gave that revelation, and it's complete. It's the word of God. But there are more illuminations, things where you look at that, you think, man, I've never seen that before. So in these verses, there are going to be things that I don't share that you say, well, you didn't say this. Yeah, there's probably going to be a lot of things I didn't say that could have been said. And so I just kind of wanted to point that out. There's always further truth that can be unveiled and brought out in any passage in the Bible. But the parts of the message today is characterized by three words: partakers, process, and portion. Partakers, process, and portion. And the title of the message today is Ready, Set, Grow. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the word today. We pray, God, that you would just speak to us. Lord, you know where each and every one of us are at spiritually. You know, Lord, who is sold out and on fire and ready for you and would definitely come should they pass away or should the rapture happen today. You know who those people are. You know, Lord, if there's some here today that are not quite where they should be, and they've kind of been going off in a different direction and really need to get back on the right path, kind of like the prodigal son. And Lord, there's probably some people here watching online that are not saved, and that if they died today or the rapture happened, they'd be left here to endure the tribulation and all the terrible things that's going to happen on the earth after the church leaves. So Lord, you are the real preacher today. You are the convictor. And I pray, Father God, that you would just touch us all where we need to go to and what place we need to arrive at in you, and that you would just minister to each one individually. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So are you ready? The first word, partakers. Everybody say partaker. Partakers. The first words of verse 26 is the kingdom of God. Says, Jesus also said, the kingdom of God. The Lord uses this parable to help us understand something about the kingdom of God. That subject, the kingdom of God, is certainly very, very vast. A subject that you could explore for hours, days, weeks, months, probably even years. It's a huge subject if we just say the kingdom of God. There is so much about the kingdom of God. But so we're just going to kind of scratch the surface today when we talk about this vast subject of the kingdom of God. The Lord says the kingdom of God is like. He uses that word like as a comparison so that we can kind of see from an earthly story, a parable, what the kingdom of God is like. He said it's like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground, and night and day, whether that farmer is awake or whether he's asleep, the seed sprouts, it grows, and then it finally grows up and it matures and it's ready to be harvested. And it says in the parable, he doesn't even understand how it happens. It's like a mystery, but it happens. It's amazing. As I've mentioned before, we had a large garden when I was growing up. We'd plant those little seeds in the ground, and in a few weeks or months, there would be vegetables and fruit and things that we would eat and put on the table from those one little bitty seeds that were planted a few months before. It's amazing. You know, eventually the seed sprouts, it grows up, and then a harvest. Then it's harvested when the time is right, like planting that watermelon seed. How many, anybody like watermelon? Planting that little black watermelon seed, and in a few months you grow up and you harvest those watermelons and you eat on one while you're watching the fireworks on July the 4th. And you got to have a little salt on that watermelon. It just doesn't quite taste the same without the salt. This is not in my notes. This is totally doesn't have anything to do, but I'm curious. How many of you in here are like me and you salt your watermelon? All right. Hey, that's pretty good. How many of you think that's disgusting and you don't? Oh, they're in the minority. I see the salters win today. That doesn't have anything to do about anything, but it is kind of curious. So us like myself are more saltier than these others, right? Yeah. So the seed is the word of God, and it's planted. And the farmer is the Lord Jesus. The soils is us. The soils are people, the hearts of people, men and women and boys and girls that receive that seed when it is sown, when it is spoken, when it is preached, when it is taught, when it is shared, maybe in a Bible study. Remember a few weeks ago when we were looking at the parable of the soils or of the sower, we talked about four types of soil. There was the seed that was sown on the path where it was all tramped down and the birds came and ate it. Then there was a seed that was sown on the shallow soil or the rocky soil. And that seed, it didn't put down deep roots, and so it sprung up quickly, but it didn't last very long. And then there was the seed that was sown on the thorny ground or the ground with lots of weeds and thorns, and it sprung up, but then all the other weeds and all kind of choked it out, and it never really produced much of a crop. And then there was the seed that was sowed on the good ground, and it produced a crop. The Bible says 30, 60, 100 times of what was sown. And that's the kind of hearts we need to have, amen? Not just one time in our life when we're saved, but every single time. Every single time we read the word, every day that we wake up, we say, Lord, let my heart be soft and ready to receive from you. Let me have a soft heart. Let me have good ground. So we all know that there are many, many facets of the kingdom of God. As I said a few moments ago, that it would take us all day and all night and for the next several months if we looked at every single facet of the kingdom of God. But let's look at a few. So number question is, what is the kingdom of God? What do we mean by the kingdom of God? I think it's everything that pertains to God. Everything that pertains to his word, everything that pertains to the Trinity and to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, all the things in God's will and God's plan. I mean, that's a big, long definition, and it's really not even a definition. It's more of a description of the kingdom of God. It's kind of hard to put it all in one thing, except a kingdom, and people in these days were more familiar with kingdoms than we are in ours because we don't have a kingdom-type government. We got a representative government. We have a Congress, and we have a president. president and so on. But in those days, there was a king, and every kingdom has a king that rules and reigns. Now, Revelation 19:16 says that Jesus Christ is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He is the king. On his robe and at his thigh was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. God elevated his son to the honor of this, of ruling and reigning in this kingdom. At Philippians chapter 2, Paul writes, you must have the same attitude that Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is king, period. He's king. And we have to decide if we're going to serve that king or reject that king. And he is not just a king, he is the king. He has all authority. He has all power. He has all dominion. He has all glory and all honor. For now, he reigns in heaven. The Bible says Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. What's he doing there? He's praying for you. He's making intercession for you. For now, Jesus is literally in heaven, seated by the Father. One day, though, he's going to come back to this earth and he's going to be king on this earth in what we call the millennial reign. He'll set up his power here on earth and will rule and reign on the earth. And then, as you know, the new heavens and new earth, and then it's destroyed by fire and there's a new heaven and new earth, and he rules and reigns forever and ever and ever and ever. For now, he also not only reigns in heaven, but he reigns in the hearts of those people who have come to trust him as their Savior. He reigns in the hearts of those who have chosen to believe and follow him. Is that anybody here today? Anybody chosen to believe and follow the Lord today? Okay, well, we got. Let me ask the question again, because I just saw a few hands. That bothers me. We're going to have a really good altar call in a moment. How many people you've chosen to accept Christ and he's ruling and reigning in your heart? Oh, now that's better. That's the kind of response. You just didn't hear me. That's what. It's just something wrong with this mic. That's what it is. Thank the Lord. He lives. He has chosen. The King of kings and the Lord of lords has chosen to live by his Holy Spirit inside of me and inside of you. Hallelujah. That's about the kingdom of heaven as well. So when you come to Christ in repentance, he and all the blessings of his kingdom come to live within you by his Holy Spirit. Of course, the Bible refers to that as being born again. Or salvation. Sometimes it's called regeneration, made new, redemption. You are made new and your sins are forgiven. You became a partaker. Everybody say that word. Partaker of the divine nature. Or you could say you get to be a partaker of the kingdom of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 says this. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. You become a partaker of the kingdom of God. Colossians chapter 1, verses 11 through 14 says it this way. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son who purchased our freedom and forgave us our sins. That, my friends, is the basic idea of the kingdom of God, that God reconciles the world to himself. We become partakers of the divine nature, partakers of the kingdom of God. And some of the blessings of that kingdom. What are some of the blessings of the kingdom of God? Well, just to name a few, like I said, there's many that would take us all day. But first of all, I'm just going to name a few blessings that we have as a part of the kingdom of God. We have the joy and the pleasure of life forever. Amen. Psalm 16:11 says, "You will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence and the pleasures of living with you forever." Amen. We have eternal life and joy in his presence forever. We have peace, comfort, and guidance along the pathway of life. Anybody ever needed peace along the way? Anybody ever needed some guidance along the way or some comfort? Those things are given to us because we are a part of the kingdom. We serve the King of Kings, and he delights to bless and to take care of his children. We have victory over death, hell, and the grave. One of these days when we draw our last breath on this earth, if we are a Christian, we are going to go home to heaven and draw our first breath in heaven. We have that a promise of everlasting life. Romans 8:11 says, "The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living in you." Amen. Amen. We have the power of the Holy Spirit. God didn't just save us and then leave us. He gave us the Holy Spirit to live in us, to help us, to mature us, to comfort us, to empower us, to show us stuff in the Word of God. He gave us the Holy Spirit. He gave us heaven. No tears, no sorrow, no death, no crying. He's given us heaven. All these things are because of the kingdom of God. He's given us the fellowship and encouragement of the church. How many of you love church? Love to go to church. I've always loved to go to church and be a part of the church and be in services and Sunday school and youth services and revivals and kids crusades and so on. Being with the family of God, we have that because we're a part of the kingdom of God. How about purpose and calling? God's kingdom gives you a purpose. He knew you before you were born. He set you apart. He wove you together in your mother's womb. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. He has a calling on your life. He has a function for you in the body. I like what the evangelist or the missionary said last week. Everybody has a function. You may think, well, I don't have any talents. There's something, because if you say, I don't have one single talent that I could do, you make God a liar. Because God said, I've given everybody something. You may not understand it or know what it is. You may have to discover it, but God has given every single person a knack or a function, a purpose, a place in the body. And some of you might be thinking, I'm kind of like the appendix. I could live or not live in somebody's body. They wouldn't miss me. I haven't had an appendix since I was 18. I'm sure it did something. I don't know what, but for the last 50 however many years, no, I'm not 70, 42 years, 43 years, I haven't missed it much. But I'm telling you, God has a purpose for everybody in his kingdom, the kingdom of God. Aren't you glad you are a partaker of the kingdom of God? Amen. I'm glad you are. The second word in helping us understand these verses is the word process. Everybody say process. Process. Both of these parables, the parable of the growing seed and the parable of the mustard seed, speak of process. It speaks of a process. A plant starts out as a seed, then a sprout, then a leaf, and eventually it ripens to the head or to the fruit that is then harvested and enjoyed. I had an orange yesterday, and I'm glad somebody planted that one day in the past, because I got to enjoy that great, beautiful, delicious orange yesterday that was made for me. I hate peeling my own orange. I'm lazy. If someone will peel my orange for me and set it before me, I'll enjoy it. But if I have to do the work, is that lazy or what? That's terrible. I'm just confessing my faults, you know. We read that in Sunday school this morning, James 5. Confess your faults to one another that you may be healed. So next week, I'll be able to do my own orange. So a plant starts out, it grows, it ripens, and then Jesus was saying that the kingdom of God would start very, very small, like a tiny mustard seed. I happen to have a mustard seed in my pocket. You can't see it. I can barely see it inside this little glass container. It is tiny. I mean, it is tiny. The Bible says this mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds, and yet it grows to become the largest of all garden plants, long branches. The birds can even come and nest in the branches, and it becomes a great blessing. Well, the kingdom of God, it started small like that. I mean, just as the kingdom of God started small, even on Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago, there was just a handful of followers of Jesus at the time. He just had a handful. Jesus spent a lot of time with the 12. And then later, around the day of Pentecost, there was 120. So we always say that's the starting of the church at 120 people. Okay? Today, the followers of Jesus number in the millions, 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 and millions. Amen? It started small, but it grew. I thought of this the other day concerning the triumphal entry. Palm Sunday's the triumphal entry. I thought this was cool. The triumphal entry gives us a triumphal exit. Isn't that good? The triumphal entry in Jesus' death and resurrection gives us a triumphal exit if we know him as our Savior. And so the same is true of us. Just as the kingdom of God started small, when we became a follower of Christ, we didn't become mature all at once. You know, I was born on July the 16th, 1961. I think I weighed 7 pounds and something. Wouldn't it have been freaky if the next day I'd have weighed 100 pounds and been 5'2" in one day? My mama would have freaked out. You don't grow all at once. It's a process. And the same is true spiritually. I was about 8 or 9 years old when the seed of God's word and conversion entered my life. Main Church of the Nazarene helped me get started as teachers and preachers and fellow church members. And of course, my parents watered the seed that was sown in my heart. I knew very little then compared to what I know now. I didn't understand about theology. I didn't even know what the books of the Bible were. I didn't know much about anything at 8 or 9 years old. I was just starting to learn the stories of Moses and David and Shadrach and, you know, the creation and all. But I didn't know near what I know today. I couldn't explain the major doctrines of the Assemblies of God or of any denomination. And so, I certainly didn't know where that childhood decision at 8 or 9 years old would take me. I had no dream, no idea at 8 or 9 years old I'd be standing here 60 years later. We don't know, but it's a process. It happens gradually, and I still don't know it all and never will until I get to heaven. But I've grown a lot since I was 8 years old, just as a plant grows from a little seed and it gets bigger and becomes a plant. And you have done the same thing. So just as biological growth takes time, so does spiritual growth. You aren't mature overnight. God isn't finished with any of us yet. We're still under construction. Look at your neighbor and say, you're under construction. Yeah. I see the orange flags around your life. No, I'm kidding. It's under construction, just like the road going south out of Noble. It's under construction now. They're going to four-lane that. I just thought of all the poor animals that lost their homes. It's under construction. In the book Fearless by Dr. George Wood, he relates this story. I thought this was neat. It says, I love the epitaph on the grave of Ruth Graham, wife of Billy Graham. One day as they drove through a work area on the highway, she saw this sign, end of construction. Thank you for your patience. Oh, it said, end of construction, thank you for your patience. She told Billy, that's what I want on my tombstone. Whether we use the illustration of construction or seed growth, the result is the same. God isn't finished with you yet. You are to keep growing until the harvest, until the end of construction. We're under construction. Amen. Christ's kingdom didn't look like much at first as Jesus spent his days investing in the lives of 12 disciples. But Jesus knows the transforming power of his presence in those who follow him. Jesus sees into the future and knows from the beginning that he will have more followers than any other person in the history of humanity. God's word is powerful. God's spirit is powerful. He changes us. What began as small will end, as Revelation 7, 9, and 10 declares. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar. Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. That's a future event yet to happen. Palm Sunday, as described in Mark 11, is basically just a warm-up to what we're reading about in Revelation 7. Amen. It started off, palm branches. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, holy, holy. And I just read to you in Revelation, there's going to be a day when people from every single group of people in the world is going to be there shouting and singing to the Lord. You may not feel like you have much potential, but keep on walking with God. He is not finished with you yet. It's called process. So number three, not only are we partakers, not only is there a process, the third part we see is portion. This thought comes out of Mark 4, basically verse 33, if we go back to Mark here. It says, Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people, and get this right here, as much as they could understand. Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. In fact, in his public ministry, he never taught without using parables, but afterward, when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything to them. So Jesus taught the people as much as they could understand. So it sounds like Jesus could have taught them more, right? I mean, he could have taught them a lot more. But he stopped because he said, they're only going to understand this much. So he stopped. I mean, the Lord has all wisdom, all knowledge, all power. He could have taught them and taught them, but it would have been like water going off a duck's back. You know, they couldn't comprehend any more than what they were able to understand. So he taught them to their capacity. Or you could say he taught them to their portion, that they could hold. He could have went deeper. He could have went higher. But you cannot fill a cup fuller than its capacity. This bottle right here holds 16.9 fluid ounces. You can't get 20 ounces in this bottle. I don't care how good you are. It only holds 16.9 fluid ounces. Now, we talked about this about 3 weeks ago. You remember what I had up here about 3 weeks ago? I had a thimble. I had a little glass. I had a bucket. I had a bigger bucket. And then I had a huge trash can. I talked about that's our capacity, our portion, how much we can hold of God. We decide. Let me underline this. We decide how big our capacity is. We decide how much of God we want, how much understanding and how deep we go with God or how high we go with God. We decide as individuals, because they have a free will, we decide how much of the Lord we want to understand. Because remember, he can always give us more, but if you have a 16.9 fluid ounce capacity for God, he's not going to give you 24 ounces. He'll give you 16.9. God won't decide for us. How much of a capacity would the Lord want for us if it was up to him? Probably huge. Steve, I want you to have a huge, huge capacity for me. And that's what he would say about all of us. A huge portion. But here's the good news today. Our portion can expand. And I say, well, I've got 16.9. That's all I got. God can't give me any more than that. I'll have 16.9 fluid ounces of God until I die. No, you can enlarge your portion. You can enlarge your capacity. You can, here's a cool word for that, grow. You can grow. Aren't you glad that watermelon seed grew? Aren't you glad that corn kernel grew so you could sink your teeth into that buttery, salted corn with pepper on it? Your portion can expand. Our capacity for God can and should, everybody say should grow. But here's a couple of questions for you. Do we limit Jesus' ability to pour truth into our lives because we have chosen not to enlarge our capacity? Have we shut off learning more of him because we don't open his word, spend time waiting on him in prayer, and spend time sharing our faith with others? What's your portion like? What's your capacity? We are called, it's all throughout the New Testament, we are called to grow in our faith and knowledge of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 3:18 says it like this. Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to him, both now and forever. Amen. Rather you, he didn't say should, he didn't say ought to. He didn't say you ought to might think about it. He said you should. No, he said you must. You must grow. We must grow. Remember, and I'm not going to get into this, but remember what happens the last time we talked about this? In fact, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now? The Bible says even if you don't, even what you have will be what? Huh? What was it? Taken away. You go backwards. If you no longer want to grow and get closer to God and enlarge your capacity from a thimble to a trash can, you'll go the other way. You can't stay still. There's no, I'm staying right here with God. I'm not moving to the right, to the left. I'm not going further. I'm not going backwards. You can't do that. You're either going forward or backward. You're either getting closer to Christ or further away. It's a choice we make. So may we always want to be among those who press through to a deeper knowledge and relationship with the Lord. Remember that old hymn? Deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Amen. That's not just a cool little hymn we used to sing. It's the truth. I'm going to wrap this up. The key to Mark 4:33. Well, let's look again. What was Mark 4:33? Mark 4:33 said, Jesus used many similar stories and illustrations to teach the people as much as they could understand. So the key to that verse is Matthew 6:33. That's Mark 4:33. I believe most all of you know what Matthew 6:33 says. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. He will fill you up and keep filling you up, and you'll go from 24 ounces to 32. You'll be one of those biggies or those supersized cups, Route 44. You'll just keep going and going, and pretty soon people will be finding shelter and comfort in the shade of your mustard seed plant that is you now, because people see what God has done in you. And people find shelter and comfort and strength in the shade of your life. Amen. I should have brought my thimble. It's in my desk. Don't be satisfied with the thimble. Don't be satisfied with the seed. Well, here's my little mustard seed. That's all I'm going to have for Jesus. Plant that sucker. Plant that seed. Begin to water that seed. Cultivate that ground. Say, Lord, give me more, give me more, give me more. In conclusion, the two words everybody was waiting for. These verses that we just read, Mark 4:26 to 34, speak of partakers of the kingdom. In the process of becoming Christ-like, as we enlarge our portion and capacity to receive all of his instructions, wisdom, anointing, and blessing. Keep your heart open to receive. Keep a soft heart. I don't care if you've been serving the Lord 85 years. Don't get a hard heart. Don't get a proud heart. Don't act like you know it all. Keep a soft heart. Keep humble. You don't know it all. If the Apostle Paul was standing right here on the stage, he would say, folks, you don't know it all. And I don't either. People relate more to your humility than your pride. People relate more to a soft, humble heart than a cocky, arrogant one. Lord, help us. Help us, Father God, to really truly appreciate how much you have given to us as members and partakers of the kingdom of God. Help us, Father God, as we grow. Lord, let us realize we're in process. God's not finished with us yet. Ruth Graham had it right. End of construction. Thank you for your patience. One day, Lord, when you harvest us and you take us home to be with you, then we would know that the construction time is over and we're with you forever in your presence. But until then, Lord, help us to continue to enlarge our portion. Enlarge our capacity to want more of you, to desire more, to desire to be closer. As the old hymn says, just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus. Let it be. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Would you just bow your heads right there where you're at right now? Would you just shut yourself in with God, and you would just ask yourself, Lord, am I seeking to know you more? Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the kingdom of God. I thank you, Jesus, for being my Savior. And if someone's here today and you're not saved, you're not ready for heaven, you're not on the right path. Right now in this moment, you can say to the Lord, just as the thief did on the cross, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Lord, remember me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Begin construction in my life. Tear down that that's old and that that's of the world, Father God. Replace me with new desires and new disciplines and new practices in my life. Give me a new heart. Give me a new heart. Take out that stony heart. Let me have a new heart today, God. I want to begin this journey with you. I want to go to heaven, and I want to make a difference here on earth in the time I'm here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I challenge you as believers, enlarge your capacity, like Jabez. Enlarge my capacity. And the Lord granted his request. The Lord will never turn down a hungry heart, a diligent seeker. In fact, he said, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Lord, let us find you today, God. We need you, Lord. It's not always easy being a Christian in this world. We face a lot of stuff. We face a lot of temptation. There's more and more persecution happening to Christians, even in our country, the land of the free and the home of the brave. Father God, we need all of you. At every moment of every day, touch us, Lord, we pray. Oh, Jesus, in a moment, we're going to celebrate your death and your resurrection. We're going to celebrate the blood you shed on the cross by remembering you and saying thank you, and we love you. And we're so thankful, Jesus, that you died on the cross for the least, the last, and the lost. You died for everyone, that whosoever would believe could be saved. Oh, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. The men who are going to serve communion are going to come right now, and the worship team's going to lead us in a song. They're going to serve communion. Anyone that's a Christian, you don't have to be a member of this church. You're welcome to honor the Lord's body and blood in our service today. So when you get the element in your hand, just hold on to it. We're going to do it all at the same time today. Sometimes we vary it and do it other ways, but today we're going to receive it all at the same time, and they'll begin serving you now.
Even when I fail.
Us. Thank you, Lord. Has everybody got served? Did we miss anybody? Raise your hand if you did not. Okay. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11:17, but in the following instructions, I cannot praise you, for it sounds as if you're more harmed than good is done when you meet together. Let me go on further down here. I started in the wrong place. Verse 23, for I pass on to you. Not that that other wasn't important, I'm sure it is. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, at the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. Would you hold up the bread? Lord, this bread represents your broken body. And Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for sending Jesus, born in a manger at Bethlehem, grew up there in Galilee and Nazareth, and ended up giving his life on the cross there in Jerusalem. His body beaten, his beard plucked, crown of thorns in his head, a spear in his side, all of those things so that we could receive salvation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for drinking that bitter cup of suffering in our behalf. We love you, Lord. Receive the bread right now. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people. An agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Lord, we thank you for your blood that you shed, symbolized by this cup. We thank you, Jesus, that you shed your blood, that it could be applied to the doorposts of our heart, just as it was applied to the doorpost of the Israelites way back in Moses' day. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that that death angel passed over them. And we thank you, Lord, that your judgment on sin will pass over us if we have the blood applied to our heart and to our life. Jesus, we can't wait to see you in heaven and let you lead in the Lord's Supper there when we all get there. Until then, we're going to continue month after month lifting up this cup and eating this bread and drinking this cup in remembrance of you. We do it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me this morning? Just tell the Lord, I love you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 You tore the veil.
You made a way. When you said,
Bible says in Romans 8, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Not principalities, powers, height, or depth. Nothing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. God, just go with us, we pray. Let us be a light and salt in this world. In Jesus' name. And everybody shouted, amen. Amen. God bless you. See you tonight, 6 o'clock.